Shabbat Shalom. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was tohu vavohu, a formless, empty void. This is how our creation story begins. Nothingness into which God introduces order. God separates light from dark, day from night, sea from sky, water from land. Swirling chaos transforms into a balanced, calm, and perfect world. But our tradition has another version of the world at its beginning. Howard Schwartz offers this interpretation of a Kabbalistic myth. At the beginning of time, God's presence filled the universe. When God decided to bring this world into being, to make room for creation, God first drew breath, contracting God's self. From that contraction, darkness was created. And when God said, "Let there be light," the light that came into being filled the darkness, and 10 holy vessels came forth, each filled with primordial light. In this way, God sent forth those 10 vessels like a fleet of ships, each carrying its cargo of light. Had they all arrived intact, the world would have been perfect. But the vessels were too fragile to contain such a powerful divine light. They broke open, split asunder, and all the holy sparks were scattered like sand, like seeds, like stars. In the Torah, the world is created by elements coming together. In this Kabbalistic telling, creation begins with a shattering. And with this shattering, something sacred is released. Light and life emerge from the brokenness. One of the things we can learn from this story is that brokenness is at the very root of being. It is not something to be shunned or shamed. This moment in the cycle of Jewish time is set aside precisely for dwelling in our brokenness. 2 weeks ago, we observed the 17th of Tammuz, commemorating the breach of Jerusalem's ancient walls. Next week, we observe the fast of Tisha B'Av, a day of mourning for the destruction of the temple. To these days, our tradition has added many other calamities. The 17th of Tammuz is also the date assigned to the moment when Moses smashed the first tablets of the Ten Commandments. Tisha B'Av is also remembered as the date of the expulsion from Spain. We remember these horrible moments in the life of our people, and we weep, and we wail, and we mourn what has been lost. But amid all this brokenness, there is something else. This Shabbat, which falls between these days of devastation, is called Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat of vision. This name comes from the first word of this week's Haftarah, the prophetic vision of Isaiah, beginning with these words. Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz Asher Chaza, the vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, who saw. Now the word chazon, vision, and the verb chaza do not mean to see in the literal sense. These are words of prophecy, of perception, of a kind of seeing that transcends the ability of the eye. Isaiah's vision in this time of brokenness is one of repair, of the promise of Teshuvah, in which we return to God and God returns to us, restoring our fortunes, building a future. My beloved teacher, Malila Helner Eshed, speaks compassionately about this moment in Jewish time as a crisis. A moment of crisis, she teaches, is the time to let loose our tears, to search our hearts and our souls. It is what makes us human. But Malila is careful to point out that crisis is not equivalent to tragedy. In both Hebrew and English, the word crisis can be a synonym for a turning point. And so Malila expounds on the Hebrew word mashber, from the root shin bet resh, meaning to break or smash. Shever is a breach, a rift, or a fracture. Lishbor is to break. And mashber means crisis. But in the sacred texts of our tradition, this word has a variety of meanings. In the book of Exodus, this is the root used when Moses smashes those tablets that we mourn on the 17th of Tammuz. Vayichar af Moshe vayashlech miyadav et haluchot. In a rage, Moses hurled the tablets, vayishaber otam tachat hahar, and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. In 2 Kings and later in Isaiah, mashber means birthing stool, a chair that positions a laboring mother to aid her in her delivery. It may also mean cervix. And in this context, it's not as much a turning point as the point of no return. And the latter chapters of Genesis tell the story of Jacob and Joseph in Egypt, replete with this same root. But in this context, shever doesn't mean breaking. It means grain or sustenance. And the words lishbor and mashbir have to do with apportioning said grain. And finally, the Mishberei Yam, the great ocean breakers that we just sang about in Psalm 93. Mikolot Maim Rabim, Adirim Mishberei Yam, Adir Bamarom Adonai. Adonai, majestic on high, sits above the thundering of mighty waters, more majestic than the breakers of the sea. Each of these meanings is connected to the idea of crisis as a moment not only of dramatic change, but of the move toward growth and life. Mashber as birthing stool or cervix gives life in the most literal sense, as a child breaks free from the womb. Shever is the life-giving grain whose sprouts cleave the earth in order to reach toward the light and grow. And Joseph, the mashbir, breaks open the grain stores and saves Egypt from famine and death. But the Mishberei Yam, the powerful breaking waves, may offer the most nuanced understanding of our root word. In the book of Jonah, the ambivalent prophet cries to God, Kol Mishberecha v'galecha alai avaru. All your breakers and your waves have swept over me. Jonah decries the waves as a place of death. But the truth is, he did not drown. The great waves kept Jonah afloat and carried him to the next stage of his journey. In the face of the Mishberei Yam, there is a choice. As Malila puts it, we can ride the waves to safety, or we can be engulfed by them. The experts agree, if you are caught in a powerful current, do not try to swim for shore. The safest way to survive a dangerous wave is to not fight it. In a time of crisis, we can resist the moment of change or accept what is before us and allow it to bear us forth. It's all a matter of perception, isn't it? We can choose to see a moment of crisis as a breaking point, or we can see it as a breakthrough. Our tradition instructs us to spend these weeks of Tammuz and Av weeping and wailing for the catastrophe of destruction. But when the walls of Jerusalem were broken, our people experienced the beginning of a breakthrough. When the temple was destroyed and Israel was exiled, God's presence came with us. Ezekiel's powerful vision of the divine happens in Babylon. Would he have, could he have had this vision when he was home safe and sound? Had the temple remained, would we have, could we have developed the sacred creativity that led us to transform worship from sacrifice to prayer, to elevate justice and righteousness above chauvinism, to break open the words of the Torah and give life to vast oceans of interpretation and towering mountains of holy discourse? We need days like Tisha B'Av. We need time to sit with our grief, and not just because Ecclesiastes tells us that there is a time to weep. Even if a crisis yields positive change, all change brings some kind of loss. But loss and growth walk hand in hand. There is no creation without rupture, and brokenness can reveal new inspiration. The Kabbalists who spoke of the shattering of vessels when God began the work of creation must have understood this. And although our latter-day prophet Leonard Cohen may not be considered a Kabbalist, his song Anthem brings a most clear and poignant expression to the life that comes from brokenness. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Shabbat Shalom.